When you want to write a poem, you've got to come at them with all you've got. You've got to get hot and got to plot on what you're going to do to the reader when he least expects it. You must live to write, love to fight, and fly your literary kite and see what's bullshit and see what soars. Now, if you want it all to rhyme, it's not a crime. Just take your time and let your words tick and click so you can trick your audience into believing that you know what you're doing. And when I get down, I make sounds that are round and end my sun-glistened stanzas with a solid kick punch. I am a karate chop kite master, building steam, poem faster, and wrapping it in serious with a slow, long line. But it's not done. Still writing this poem and having fun and sending you up on my kite string to see how you fare. You've got to figure it out. What to say, how to play on the senses and expand your sentences with the fat-thumbed carvings of your poetic verse. To end this poem, you got to show 'em, got to blend in every shade of dripping metaphor that's come before in your poem, your fat thumbs sneaking up on the reader who's there admiring your new kite, and you loving your new poem as it crashes to the ground.
All right, come on, start. So I'm watching V for Vendetta. It's all quiet. So somebody pulls out a pistol and gets fucking pistol whipped. And then everyone's quiet. It's like a serious moment, and nobody knows what's going on. And then they hear this voice, pistol whipped. And that's it. Goodbye.
I can't tell you why there's mayonnaise on the cat, only that I'll deal with it this afternoon.
Billy, this is your mother. I just wanted to know why you never call anymore. Also, I wanted to know if you talked to your boss about that promotion. You know, you've been sitting by that desk for 3 years pushing those papers. They know you do all the work for them. And no promotion. You still with that blonde, skinny broad named Kelly or Cammy or whatever his name is? Well, yeah, I don't think I like her very much. Last time she came over for dinner, she was commenting about my smoking around the baby. Babies are fine. I used to smoke around you, and you turned out just fine. I guess I gotta go. The girls are here to pick me up to go to the boats. I'll see you Sunday for dinner. Bye.
All right, so sorry about that. I made a mistake in dialing and options and whatever. So, the sketch begins, blah, blah, blah. Stage, detective, Victorian, woman, mutton chops, and large-shouldered, square-shouldered guy not facing camera. I'm talking eerily square-shouldered here. All right, so the scene begins. The detective says, I have quite an outrageous conclusion, one that is shocking as it is inevitable. Judging from the oil stains, the rigid marks on the victim's throat, and the cold, calculating manner in which the murder has been committed, it is clear that the murderer is none other than some type of mechanical man. The room is shocked, and one by one the guests announce, my God, egads, and does not compute. All right? Broad-shouldered guy turns around. He is clearly a robot wearing a poorly fitted suit. All right? The detective continues. Yes. I've recently been to a Czech theater thing where they show Czech plays, all right? And I saw one about a horrible future in which automated men do all of the labor. And it seems to me that these automated men are not works of fancy or fiction, but may in fact exist. For you see, our esteemed host was a scientist working on such problems. And it appears he has been killed by a robot of his own design. A robot so clever that its inner workings can be hidden from even the most trained human eye. And at this point, the poorly dressed robot billows out a lot of smoke because he is powered by steam. All right, so detective continues. I believe the murderer is, in fact, one of us. It is either the Duchess Van Housen.
Oh, no, it could never have been me.
The merchant, Mr. Chambers, from the preposterous, he says. And then finally, or the mysterious chicken.